Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Group Answers. So glad that you joined us. My name is Chris Surratt, and I will be co-hosting alongside Mr. Brian Daniel.
Hello.
And Brandon, common spelling, Hiltebeutel.
Not sure what accent to use after that.
Wait, caught me off guard.
Brian's just...
I wasn't ready.
He's trying out different dialects. Last time it was like a yeehaw.
No. Boy howdy.
Boy howdy.
I'll never forget.
Was that last time?
I'll never forget.
Well... Who knows how many times?
It was like a year ago.
But yeah.
Well, again, I guess I need to have my mind in the game earlier in the process.
But as a world traveler, I can see why you'd want to use different dialects and accents.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you do. You get to different places, and it's very cool.
I get around.
Now, have you always liked traveling? Is that something that you guys do as a family? Because you went to Colorado, you scaled some 14s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We love it. Yeah. I went to, as a part of the Kingdom Men Rising Project, we were in New York a few weeks ago, and that's the first time I've been there. I think, Chris, you've been there before. Brandon, have you been to New York City?
Yeah, a couple of times. Man. I had a one afternoon honeymoon in New York City.
We were there.
Enough time for
that's
that
not
story.
Enough time to do much.
We were there in I was there in December. I didn't leave like a 3 to 4 block radius, and it was a blast, just walking around and just being a part of it.
That's one of my favorite cities I've ever been to. That, Chicago, is another one. I can just spend all day downtown Chicago.
I always thought that I could only go to places where the sun was shining, and I couldn't go farther north. But as I've gotten to places like Philadelphia and Chicago and now New York City, you just put on another layer and tough it out.
Yeah.
It was cold and rainy when I was there, and I was out, walked everywhere, and didn't have a problem with it. It's just what you do.
Yeah. You know what? You think about the Northeast, too, because I've been to Baltimore and Philadelphia and New York and all of this. You sense history. Boston, too. You just sense history that you don't anywhere else. Like, if you go to California, I love California, love Southern California. It's beautiful, but it's like shiny and new, and it's been around for a minute. Where the Northeast, you're just like, man, this is where things happened.
Yeah. Baltimore, I didn't sense history as much as I sensed imminent gunfire. I mean, we were where we were, it felt threatening.
We apologize to all of you who live in Baltimore. Brian does
my
not
apologies.
Mean
granted, it was a small sample size.
Brian, I didn't think you got out of your home. I thought your travel was between here and home.
Yeah, if we continue this conversation, I will continue to be silent. My goal is to never leave my house.
Brandon lives in another state. I don't know if we've made that clear before.
Northern Alabama, yes.
All right, so this is going to be fun today. We've done a couple shows like this, and I will credit Mr. Hiltebeutel because this was his brain that came up with this idea. But we're going to do some more power ranking. In the past, we have power ranked books, discipleship books. We have also power ranked discipleship makers. That one got heated.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to that one, I would go back. I would find it. Brandon threw some things.
Well, you edited that part out when he had me by the throat up against the wall.
Well, he cursed. We got to drop this. Yeah.
We got through it. The gospel leads to love.
We're brothers in Christ. So that one got heated. This one could too. We'll see. But we're going to do another power ranking.
We're over it.
We're going to do another power ranking. And this time we are going to power rank small group systems.
Right.
Small group systems.
Chris, before we get started, power ranking is a new term to me. Is that an NBA thing, or could we trademark that for the show?
No, that's all sports. And now, websites like The Ringer, they'll power rank just about anything.
Yeah.
Which is where I stole the
idea. I was just wanting to extend our empire a little
bit. I'm afraid it's taken.
I always called it force ranking.
That's force just, ranking. What about that? Is that one taken?
That one's taken. That's pretty ubiquitous.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
That one's covered, yeah. We'll check, though. We'll have our fact
somebody
checkers.
Look into that.
Yeah.
I think ubiquitous just hit like a third time on the show in its history. That's good.
I know. We have some smart people on here,
including
Brandon.
It's a go-to for me, unfortunately.
Can you spell it?
You've got your two
or three. It's a crutch.
But we... Okay. I'm sorry.
Moving on. Thanks, Brian.
It just takes a little bit.
All right. So we're going to power rank, force rank, however you want to call this. And I want to make this clear at the beginning that when we power rank, it doesn't mean necessarily that one is better, especially in this case, one is better than the other. You're going to have to look at your context, your church, your DNA, and pick a system that works for you. There is no one small group system that is perfect for everyone, or we'd all do it, right? So there's no perfect. There are pros and cons to every system, but I will say this, you need a system. So if you don't have a small group system, or you're thinking about starting small groups, maybe you haven't done that yet, this is a good place to start. So we're going to list kind of our top five, and again, they may or may not work for you, and they may even not even be the best ones, but we're going to rank them. But some of the ones that we pick from, I'll just kind of run them down and talk about what they are. So free market is a system. A lot of churches use this and use it very effectively. And there are different uses of free market. Brandon's shaking his head at me right now. I don't think
I'm ready to start ranking.
Yeah. But free market can be, you know, you pick your study, or it can be you gather around what you guys do naturally together. So if you ride bikes, you know, that could be a small group, as long as you pray and talk about God a little bit. So that's free market. Then you've got like sermon-based small groups, and that's not so much a system, but, you know, like if you look at a North Coast, Larry Osborne's church, all of their groups do sermon-based studies, so I would say that's a system.
Is free market the same as affinity?
You can have a version that's affinity, but I think you can also have a version I ran at my church where you had to have a study. But it was free market in that you could choose your own study.
Okay.
Let's save that for our conversation, if it makes the top five. Open groups, you know, that's just, you know, they're open groups, they're open to new people. Closed groups, we're going to join together, and then we're going to close for a certain amount of time. I call this one intentional discipleship. Some of you guys probably know it as D groups, discipleship groups. We've had Robbie Gallaty on several times. He's kind of a proponent of D groups, which are those smaller three or four get together, more intensive discipleship type of groups. Missional groups. We've had our friends from Austin Stone on here. They call their groups missional groups. They're more about being out in the community instead of being based around the church. So they form out in the community. Organic groups. And I've got this on here because this is kind of a non-system sort of system where you just say, go at it, form groups. We don't care what kind of groups. It doesn't matter. Find some friends, do the group, do a study. Don't do a study, but as long as you're gathering, you know, that's a small group. And I actually have seen those out in the wild, so they exist. They're not always the most successful, but they exist. And then the last one I've got is kind of a hat tip to our friend Rick Howerton, intergenerational, where you involve children into the group. So instead of trying to provide childcare, they're an important part of the group. They're part of the discussion. So they're more intergenerational. And I think that can also be, you know, if you have a college group, but you also have seniors, you know, in it, that could be intergenerational as well. And there are other systems, and your system may have more than one of these. That's typical as well.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to point out, and I do have thoughts. They are ranked for a reason.
That's good, because you're on a podcast.
I would say that a lot of these can go together. You're not picking either or, so
nope.
Some of them go hand in hand really well, some better than others. But yep. don't think that you have to pick one term that you hear and run with that or adjust to that.
Yep, but it's more fun to power rank.
Yet, that's what we're getting ready to do.
That's what we're going to do. All right, so we're going to do our top five. We're going to go around. This time we did not come up with – the last time when we did Discipleship Makers, we had a scoring system. Brandon put up a complicated, actually,
yeah.
scoring system that I don't think any of us really understood.
It was,
but it worked.
It could have been clearer.
Yeah, no, it's good. We don't have that this time, so we're just going to go around. And all right, let's start with number five. Brian, what did you put as your number five group system?
I have number five as closed groups.
I did too.
Just eked into my top five. I did not rank organic and intergenerational. Mm. Those two did not make it, and there's one other one that we'll get to. But closed groups, I like the idea of closed groups. I like the idea, you know, obviously the shortcoming here is that you don't have that empty chair that we, I remember when I was working with Serendipity, we talked about having the empty chair, but I don't know that that's necessarily what closed groups mean, even by definition, but we'll go with it. But I just like the idea of having a beginning and an end, and then you're going to pick up and do something else, or the group can stay together. It's just an easier way to get commitment and buy-in from people, and they tend to be topical or a book of the Bible or something more theologically driven or nuanced.
Yeah, I put that as my number five as well, and I think closed groups work well for certain type of groups. I think a recovery type group, you know, Celebrate Recovery, those groups, they need to be closed by nature because there's a lot of accountability that needs to happen, a lot of openness within the group that needs to happen. But also, you know, closed groups can form community easier because you're not always adding new people into them. You know, when you add a new couple or a new person to your group, it feels like you're almost starting over, because you have to fill them in on the history. They have to integrate into the life of the group. Whereas if it's closed, let's say you join together and you say for the next, I don't know, 18 to 24 months, we're going to stay a group, we're going to stay closed. You're going to build a family. You're going to have that accountability. You're going to know each other. You know, it's going to be easier to do that. A good example of a system or a church that kind of runs these is North Point. They have run closed groups for a long time where they form, stay together for 18 to 24 months, and they do it because it builds community, it builds accountability. So it made my top five.
It seems like, I would add to what you said, Chris, that it seems like a good lab for leader development and also a good environment for multiplication.
Yeah. What you have, and that's a good point, what you have to watch out for with closed groups is they can become toxic and stale if you stay together too long. So the important part there is that you look to multiply, start new groups, maybe bring in fresh people after about 24 months to kind of get a fresh look at your small group.
Number five out of eight.
Yeah. Brandon, did you have a five?
I did not have a five. That was not a... Now, that's the one I considered.
Wait. I thought the whole definition of force rank.
It's power rank. And if nothing deserves the ranking, then you don't give it the ranking. So for me...
Jump to four.
Now, closed group is what I thought, is what I would have put at five if it was a force rank and not a power rank. But I don't love the concept of a closed group if we're talking systems. I definitely like something system-wide. I'm definitely for recovery group or financial peace or something like that being closed. But for your church-wide approach to be a closed group, I don't love because of the staleness potential and because of the lack of a missional focus that comes with that.
So kick us off with your number
four.
Yeah,
so I have open groups at four. Now, I still think an open group needs to have defined start time, defined stop time, but people being able to come at pretty much at any point and fit in. Now, as we get into some of the things higher up in the ranking, you'll see how those systems can bring definition to an open group environment. So I'll just leave it at that for now. The lowest ranking one that I can actually be excited about as someone who's, you know, I'm a pastor at my church and I've been on pastoral staff for years, and small groups are absolutely critical to the mission of the church. And that's the lowest hanging one from a systems level that I can be excited about.
I actually, we'll jump around like this because I think it makes more sense, but I put that as my number one, actually open groups, because I feel like they can fit a lot of these categories. Open groups can be missional. And that's kind of the way I ask our groups to function, is to look for somebody in their life, their circle, that needs what our group is bringing, and feel free to invite them at any point. So it's less open. You know, a lot of times when you say open, maybe it's more of a Sunday school group or a Sunday morning group where anyone can walk in at any time, or it's listed on the website. My version of open is let's be missional. Let's look for people that can be a part of our group that we already have a relationship with. We can invite into the group at any point. So that's why I put it as number one, because I think it can be a missional tool. I also think it can be an evangelism tool. So we're reaching, you know, people that may not necessarily go to our church, but we might invite them to our small group. So I think it can fill a lot of these categories. What'd you have, Brian?
I didn't rank open groups because it just felt too nebulous as a system, especially when you have more specific options. Like you talked about missional, you know, being missional. It seems like missional then would have been number one. So anyway, my number four was, and this is going to be unpopular in this room, I think, is sermon-based.
It's not unpopular.
No, I'm. It'll go higher for me.
Talk about it.
Well, that's what I mean, because that's probably low. Yeah, that's probably low compared to you guys.
See, I didn't list it because I think it fits into a lot of systems, but...
I would...
Whoa!
No.
Okay.
I like sermon-based groups.
Just let me adjust my heart.
But I think you can have an open group that's sermon-based.
Yeah, I would like... I would like sermon-based for the same reasons anybody else would.
I just threw something.
The reason that I don't have it...
He missed me.
Yeah, he edited that out already. The only reason that I don't have it higher is because, if we feel like there's a need for a stewardship resource, if we feel like there's a need for a marriage resource or a parenting study that we have to do, or if it just feels like there's a burden to enter into a 6 to 8 week study on Ephesians, I like the opportunity to do that. And as a pure system, sermon based doesn't allow for that. Everything is driven by the sermon content, and I think it leaves some holes in that way. I'm certainly not saying that it's bad. It's just I don't rank it as high as the other three. Like Chris said at the top of the show, when you force rank, you have to put them in an order, and that's where it falls here.
You know, training your volunteers and leaders is important, but do you ever feel like you don't know where to start? That's why Lifeway Leadership developed Ministry Grid. With Ministry Grid's library of over 3,000 training videos, the work has been done for you, and you'll be able to train everyone in your church. And this is training you can trust. Each Ministry Grid video features an experienced ministry leader who has been where you are now. You can customize any training by adding videos, PDFs, YouTube videos, and more. And now, Ministry Grid has one plan with one price that gives you unlimited access to train your entire church. Just go to ministrygrid.com to learn more. Once again, that is ministrygrid.com. Here's my thing with sermon-based. I love sermon-based, and our groups have done them for years. I love them. If you do them for too long, especially if you're at a church that has a sermon calendar, a lot of churches have basically a calendar where the pastor talks through certain topics and circles around, you know, every year, kind of hits the same topics, but may call it a different name for the series. You're going to end up having a lot of the same conversations, especially if it's a closed group and you're doing sermon based and that's all you do. You kind of end up, oh, wait a minute, we've talked about this. You know, you can come up with different angles on it, but that's what happened to our group when we did sermon based for like 3 years.
Where'd you rank it?
I didn't. Oh. Because I felt like it fit into different. Brennan has left the room.
He's leaving. He's going to go practice spelling his name.
It's not even my number one, but we'll see why that is when we get there. Let me react to two things that have been said. One, I want to go back to Chris putting open groups number one. So you put it there, it seems like, as more of a blanket. A lot of stuff can fit in there. Because I think we all agree, the reason I wouldn't like to say that's my system and my number one system is because the words make worlds sort of approach to leadership, I would like to be more defined than open. Mm-hmm. So, because I think even in picking a system and how you lead, you're bringing definition to the philosophy that you're chasing, to the results that you're looking for. But let's go back to sermon base. So I've been using sermon based. I've got it at number two, and I'll talk about my number one when we get there. But I would essentially say it's my favorite approach to church wide discipleship. And here's the reasons why. One, I think to speak to y'all's concern, I don't think sermon based means you never do something that isn't the pastor's sermon. I think you primarily do things that is based off the pastor's sermon. And if you're having the same conversations all the time, then you're just not doing a very good job of it, which, you know.
That would definitely be
that,
my leadership.
That definitely happens where it's just like the content that you're providing to react to the sermons is leading to the same destination every time.
Yep.
Or it could be a leader, the way the leaders, are trained to equip it. But I think rather than addressing the cons, the pros for sermon-based are – most likely the best teacher, the best communicator, the best preacher, the best Bible student in your church is the one preaching that weekend message. And unlike those of us who lead a group that isn't sermon-based, who may give it an hour maybe in preparation, I mean, he's given it 10, 15, 20 hours. So you're leveraging the best content your church is going to put out from a Bible teaching standpoint. The biggest thing for me has always been, though, the Holy Spirit is working in that time. Like, there's whatever, if there's 30 people in your church, or if there's 20,000 people in your church, the Holy Spirit is working through that time. And a lot of churches that don't do sermon-based, you leave people with no outlet for processing and nailing down what's happened in that time. You say amen, and then that's the end of it, and I go walk that out on my own, whereas my group meets on Monday nights, and anything that the Lord did in my heart the day before, it's got a chance to become something more concrete, more resolute as we then dig more into that passage or more into that concept, and then we're already have built-in accountability for what the Spirit of it has done. So you take this, if you're a church that takes the weekend service seriously and you're seeing fruit in that time, I think you want to carry that into your discipleship environment so that it takes things from conceptual to practical, and it takes things from personal to corporate.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. And when I put open groups number one, I would make sermon base the number one.
That's an option.
Curriculum option. Okay. Within it. It's also for church-wide campaigns. It's the easiest way to go. If you can shoot a short video, extra video with your pastor, upload it to YouTube. You know, you've got a church-wide campaign, or you know, use smallgroup.com to build out your studies, and link the video through smallgroup.com. So I love sermon-based studies. All right, I'm actually back at four here, but I'm going to say my number four was missional groups. I love the idea of doing life in your community, where you're at, inviting people that you naturally do life to your home for a small group. You know, I don't know that I would go as far as designing my entire system as missional, because I think that's difficult to do, but I love having missional groups that are about transforming their community, their apartment complex, their subdivision, their street by or through biblical community. So inviting them into their house for their group, even if they don't go to their church. But so that's why I put missional.
I had missional at number three, and I think it should rate higher. But it's just the pragmatic of it. It's very it's tough to do on the just the practical side of things.
It is. In churches that
very
are,
idealistic, I would think. In fact, it probably should be. And if you just looked at pure philosophy, it should be number one.
Yeah, churches that have gone wholesale have had a difficult time of getting a large percentage of their people into missional groups.
I would say Blueprint Church in Atlanta does missional groups, just because everything is based on geography. Mm. In their neighborhoods, and I know Dehati Lewis is the pastor there, and he's got on his wall in his office, he's got these little magnetic plates that have you can stick, and every one of them are regions that their church reach, and everyone has a name. Everyone in the congregation has a little magnet with their name on it, and it's placed there. Mm-hmm. So he knows exactly where everybody is geographically and who's responsible for that area of their church reach. I think that's really cool.
That is good.
Now, they're small. They're smaller, so they can do that. If you had a church of 3,500, 5,000 or more, that becomes more difficult. That's the reason I didn't put missional higher.
If you want to look at a church that does it, it's larger. Austin Stone is a great example. And we interviewed Todd Engstrom. It's been a long time ago, but you can look that up. And he talks about their missional groups, but they're a large church that have gone completely to missional groups.
So that's my number three. Brandon, what did you have at three?
Yeah, we're all in agreement there. I had missional at number three, and for the same reason. It's my church failed at it. It's hard to execute church-wide. But I would say I still ranked it this high because it is something to aspire to, and regardless of what group system you pick, one of your values – one of your group essentials needs to be mission. So,
yep. Chris, maybe missional is more aspirational, that you should, whatever system you choose, the end goal is to have missional groups. Maybe that's not your starting point.
Yeah, I mean, missional, the reason I put open groups as number one for me is I feel like missional fits well within that idea of the open groups, of inviting somebody into your group. Now, a total closed group system is going to be harder to have that as an aspirational
goal. I feel like you're cheating, but I also feel like you're convincing me that your label at the top.
Yeah.
It kind of carries everything.
I'll get you there.
I would have put open groups number one if I'd have known that.
If I had known that everything counted as an open group, then
that's kind of all of, it's kind of all of the above.
If we'd had a pre-meeting, you guys would have all agreed with me. All right. I'm going to jump to it. We've only got a couple minutes left, but my number two, and I think this was your number one, Brandon, so you can jump on this afterward, is D groups, the intentional discipleship groups. Here's the reason I put it number two and not number one is I feel like it's a second step for most people. Most people are not ready to get into an intentional discipleship, you know, intensive group with three or four people just right off the bat. So I go to church, you know, oh, sign me up for that three or four group. I need a first step. So I feel like the larger community group with 12 to 15 is an easier first step. But I feel like all of us need that second step. And so that's why I put it number two.
Yeah, that's well put. I had it as number two as well. I would have just said it's because of the communal elements. The reason I didn't have it at number one, it's you need something where you can just have the assembly in biblical community, and D groups is something different from that. I like the way you put that, Chris.
So, Brandon, argue it.
Yeah, well, I completely agree with what you said. So I'm just thinking of in terms of best case scenario, if you're going – you need to be in an environment like this. I completely agree that it's not the first step for somebody coming to church or has never been in a group before. I mean, I'm in a sermon-based open group, and I'm in a D group. But now that I've been in discipleship groups for however long, 20-plus years, and I could only do one, it would be the Friday morning at 6 a.m. with two of my best friends where we are super open about our lives and our hearts, and the way that we process the Bible together is very personal. I wouldn't trade that for anything at this point, but you're totally right that somebody that doesn't have any history with walking in biblical community is going to keep their mouth shut. They're not going to show up.
They're not going to show up. Yep.
So I put it as number one as something to drive towards. If you can get some, it's life change happens there. There's no doubt.
Yep. Yep, it's important. I hit my number one, I think. Brandon, Brian, what was your number one?
Free market.
Free market, okay. Yep. Talk.
I just like, the thing about free market, the shortcoming is leadership. You need...
hands are going around Brian's neck right now.
I went in negative.
Yeah, you need good, committed leaders for a free market to work, and I realize that. So... I dinged missional community because the pragmatic, but I didn't ding free market because of the pragmatic, because most of us just don't have that. You're always in flux, you're always moving. But I like the idea of being able to choose what you feel like is the best route for your group. And that's my understanding of free market. I know there are not a lot of success stories associated with this. At its purest, if you look at the definition at its purest form, but if you look at what's possible and God working in the lives of people, I liked it as number one.
And when I ran free market, I called it free market with guardrails, which is kind of what you're explaining. So
yeah, I don't like affinity groups, and I put that more in organic.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of, hey, we're all cyclists, so let's go ride our bikes Saturday morning and have some kind of talk.
Yeah.
I don't like that, but that's more organic to me. That's why I asked that question.
I feel the same, but there are churches. We've had Heather Zimple on here, National Community Church, and they're a big proponent of free market affinity type groups, and we've had her. She's talked about it, so there's an argument for that side as well. But I agree with you that when we ran free market, we had three rocks that every group had to kind of go on, and one was you had to have a study. So you had to have a study, so that was an important part of it. So yeah, I agree.
But the only thing I would add to that is,
so you would not, you would, I mean, you did, you think it's,
well,
number eight,
I think
out of eight.
I don't like the language. First of all, again, I'm big on what you call it and the words you use shape people's reasoning about it and their expectations of it. It just depends on how free the market is. Now, I would take it a step further. You don't just need a study. You need one of these studies. It's hard for me, again, as someone who's been a pastor and is still functioning in that role in a way at my church, that you are completely detached from the Bible study decisions that your people are making, unless you're like Brian can make those decisions. You're a Bible study professional. I trust you to, I mean, it's literally, you know what you're doing, but it depending on my relationship to those group leaders and how much trust I have in their development and their leadership, can be dangerous to just say go completely free. Like Chris, I know when you did it as a practitioner, you didn't just say pick a study, you gave them some studies to choose from.
We did.
So
we did.
That's yep. a safer route to me.
Probably requires a little more oversight or a lot more oversight, doesn't it, Chris?
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work that direction. I mean, the easier way is to say go pick whatever you
do
want.
Do whatever you want. Yeah.
But the research from Transformational, I think it's groups. The book Transformational Groups said something like 91% of the leaders that they surveyed said they want to be told what to study.
Yeah.
That they want that. Most group leaders want that. So, all right, we're going to wrap that up. But again, pick the system that works best for you. A lot of these are going to fit. You're going to have two or three that kind of work together. But you need to know the DNA of your church, the context of your church, the heartbeat of your senior leader, and pick a system. Just pick a system that works for you. All right. We are part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. We love being a part of that. Another podcast that's on here that you want to check out is Ask Me Anything. It's hosted by J.D. Greer and Todd Unzicker. They're part of the network. They're part of the family. And they recently talked about how to handle politics, whether or not to attend a homosexual wedding, and ways to distinguish God's calling on your life. So just look up Ask Me Anything on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today. We're going to have J.D. Greer on a future podcast. We're
that excited. Is correct.
Yes, yes.
He is booked.
Yep. All right, so that'll do it for us. For Brian and Brandon, I'm Chris, and we'll see you next time for Group Answers.